It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Morena, Prime Minister, how are you?
Morena, not too bad, thanks. Hope everyone's hanging in there up
yes.
in Auckland.
Yeah, we're doing well in our level 3 bubbles up here at the moment. It is a big day today. It's going to be a big cabinet decision this afternoon at 3 p.m. and then at 4:30 we'll be hearing from yourself and Director General of Health Ashley Bloomfield about what's happening with the alert levels. One thing I think there's been quite a bit of discussion about and perhaps some anxiety is what happens if we don't find out the source of this particular case, these three cases that we've got in Auckland, their initial infection. What happens there?
Yeah, well, actually, that's not a new situation for us. When we had what was a different scenario, a much larger outbreak with much wider effects in August, we had some hypotheses which we were never able to prove. And in this case, we also had some theories. Interestingly enough, though, all of them are unlikely. You know, there's no obvious issue here, but we've never pinned needing to move alert levels to having to exactly prove exactly what's happened. What we add into the mix is also just getting that extra reassurance from things like workplace testing, around the high school that's been involved, getting a real sense of, regardless what's happened, do we have a wider outbreak? At the moment, it looks like we've got some kind of leakage rather than an outbreak, because we would generally see that in our testing. But let's look again today and see what also we find out.
So you'll be looking deep into the day, I imagine, at the cases, yep. The tests coming back today.
Absolutely.
So 3 p.m. is that time.
Testing.
Beg your pardon.
Yep, so 3 p.m. And also sewage testing. It's an extra layer we can use now to say, look, are we missing something? And so that's a really helpful tool as well.
Now, if lockdown is extended for any reason, people who are unable to work will be waiting quite, in anticipation of a new wage subsidy scheme. Now, this is something that we have seen rolled out, time and time again, and it's been a really successful tool for supporting people. There has been some criticism of the fact that this first initial period of lockdown, there isn't a subsidy to support people, and 3 days can be a long time without income for people who are self-employed or who aren't able to work. Is the government going to look at a sort of immediate relief scheme in future scenarios like this for people who really do need it for that initial period?
Yeah, so look, this is the same as has always been the case. There's an initial period where we're in a bit of a short, sharp shot with a wait-and-see scenario, where if we hit the 7 days, that's when it kicks in and it's retrospective. One of the alterations we've also made is we've created a new payment, because previously you had to be in higher alert levels, 3 and above, to be able to get that kind of support. We've created another one where it doesn't have to be contingent on being at that level. And that has the resurgence payment has a little more flexibility in how it's used. And so I know that's been really welcomed. And we've also adjusted it so that you only have to look over a revenue loss over a 7-day period, rather than having to wait to get to the end of a longer period of time to make an assessment over your revenue loss. All of those tweaks, I know, will help. But we've also just having to balance what we can do and when we can best do it, and I hope this finds the right balance there.
Now, looking back to our January and early February cases that we saw coming out of the Pullman Hotel, the Pullman was closed for a period of time and it's now been reopened. Are you confident with the processes now in place in that facility to prevent future situations like the one we saw?
Yeah, and so look, some really good measures have gone on in there. And look, from time to time when you've got people who are in a facility, you may see the odd issue arise. What we want to do is make sure that we don't have a systemic problem. So we've gone in and looked at the way that the ventilation is working. We've put in extra cameras. We've changed some of the requirements for that facility around the way people or when people can move. So it's all much more scheduled, any movement. And so all of that will make a difference for that facility.
Now, in good news around COVID, we've got our first batch of vaccine in the country, and everything going to plan. This weekend is the tentative date for when that's going to roll out for our frontline border workers. Now, who kind of qualifies in that? Is it just people working in MIQ? Is it people working on airlines? What's the sort of reach of that original initial group of people being vaccinated?
Easiest way to describe it is people that we are regularly testing. Are essentially in the group that we are then looking to vaccinate. We want people who are at risk because they are interacting at our border or in our quarantine facilities with people who may have COVID. That's roughly 12,000 people. We want to then move out to their families because the next most exposed. And then we'll move through, and that includes health workers within that group, we'll then move through to wider health workforce, aged and residential care facilities and workers enroll from there.
And we've also seen that there's going to be a very specific program rolled out for Māori, so to help target those communities with the vaccination scheme. Now, when is that going to start kicking into effect? And who's going to be, fronting that?
All the way through our vaccination program, we'll be ensuring that we've got really targeted messaging, that we're working alongside community leaders. And so that's been a part of our planning from the very beginning. We also know there's a bit more vaccine hesitancy in certain groups, and so that's why we've got to make sure that we're addressing those needs for those communities as well. And equally, we also know that some population groups have, you know, higher health inequalities, greater health inequalities as well. And so that's why we've taken that approach. But as we move through those different targeted groups, that's when those communities will then see the outreach saying, look, now's the chance to come into your vaccine with the wider population we're looking to hit around mid-year.
Now, in non-COVID news, a big story that broke yesterday is a woman and two small children have been detained trying to enter Turkey from Syria. And this woman had dual citizenship with New Zealand and Australia until last year when Australia revoked her citizenship. Now, you've expressed very strong frustration with Australia over this. And last night you were speaking with Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison. What did you speak about?
Well, this is not a new issue for us. We've been talking about this particular case for some time. And so nothing I would have said yesterday would have come as any surprise to the Australian government or indeed the Prime Minister, because nothing I've said publicly I haven't said privately. And so what we've essentially talked about is just, you know, the status of the case as it is. You know, no matter what has happened in the past, there are some legal complexities to this case now. And my hope is New Zealand and Australia will continue to work through those issues in the spirit of our relationship. So,
and are you anticipating any immediate or very soon action from Australia on this? Are you going to be waiting for that?
I'm not going to make any predictions over that at this stage, but we're keeping the dialogue up. At the same time, though, I'm also very aware there are ultimately two small children involved in this, and we have to keep our minds on that as well.
Now, if New Zealand does have to repatriate this woman, do you think she will be able to have a fair trial in New Zealand, considering all this publicity? This is an issue that happens often when there is a very public case like this.
And look, it would be very premature for me to go down the track of making any assumptions about what may happen in terms of charges and so on. So at this stage, very early stages, given obviously there's a lot of unknowns at this stage, whether or not the individual will continue to be detained in Turkey, whether or not repatriation would involve New Zealand, whether or not the threshold's been met for different charges and so on. A lot of hypotheticals.
Now, very last thing just wanted to touch on before we let you go, Prime Minister, is of course what we've seen coming out of the Rainbow community, which is this huge, strong push helmed at the moment by the Green Party, who've put out a petition to end conversion therapy, put a ban on conversion therapy. This is something that the Labor Party has supported and campaigned on.
Yep.
People are asking for it to happen sooner rather than later. What is the timeline on this? What's the position?
Yeah, so look, I think that's the first thing, the only thing I worry about with the petition is that it it gives the idea that we're not going to ban. We absolutely are. So I think what's being discussed here is the speed at which we can get legislation through. And so work is being done at the moment on the bill and the legislative framework and how it would be done. And so I have every expectation, and certainly what I've expressed to the minister in charge of the bill is that by the time we have Pride, the next Pride, I want the law in place. And so that means we'll need to work in earnest over this, you know, this next period of time to get that drafting done. The one, you know, people then say, why can't it be done sooner? Well, the basic process of taking a law through Parliament is not a quick one unless you go through urgency. And I don't think anyone would suggest we would do that. And the only other issue is I want to make sure when we draft it that we get it right. The last thing I want is to draft something that's too narrowly defined and doesn't actually address the issues that the community are rightly raising. So we've got to balance, you know, timeliness, get some speed going, but also just make sure that we don't mess it up by going too quickly.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Prime Minister. We really appreciate it. It's great to have you back on the show as well. Hopefully we'll hear good news this afternoon, but we'll stay tuned at 4:30 and find out.
We'll stay in touch. Take care, everyone.
Ka kite.
Ka kite.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.